From listener-supported KTOL, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Gallery Walk Day, Friday, December 6th, 2024. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, Gunath Chi, Shawa, Tuxik Newsom, Slama. Thank you for joining the conversation. Today, the holiday season is getting into full swing, and there is nothing that can get you in the spirit like Juno Dance Theater's The Nutcracker. We check in with the team as they prepare to open this annual classic tonight. Also tonight at Hearthside, author Marion Elliott will speak on her book, Out of the Dark. We'll chat with Marion about this memoir and travelogue of loss, betrayal, and the road to courage and hope. And Mudrooms is having their final storytelling event of 2024 next week. We'll talk with one of the storytellers for next week on the theme, Stronger Than You Think, Braver Than You Know. Those conversations, plus a final peek at Gallery Walk, coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. This is Juno Afternoon. It is December 6th. It is Gallery Walk, and I just wanted to highlight a few of the events going on around town tonight. So Catholic Community Service will be handing out hot apple cider and inviting Gallery Walk goers to learn about the Juno Senior Center, including the weekly activities and lunches, as well as what volunteer opportunities are offered through their Meals on Wheels program. So make sure you stop by, say hi, and learn how to get involved. The Capitol Civic Center is rolling out the building concept on First Friday at Northwind Architects with music by Taylor Dallas Vidic at 126 Seward Street. Ryan Cortez Perez is opening his show, How to Hold On to Something. It's a photography exhibition, and it's a series of images captured over the past decade. That is at the Aurora Project at 171 South Franklin Street tonight from 4:30 to 8. The University of Alaska Southeast student and faculty artwork will be showcased at 1C Alaska Plaza on Friday, and that's tonight. The one-stop pop-up will feature art from Northwest Coast Indigenous art courses during the fall 2024 semester at the University of Alaska Southeast. It's free and open to the public, and they'll have some light refreshments. Also at Sea Alaska, during Gallery Walk, the Native artists in the Walter Sobolev Building lobby, they'll have artists in there. There'll also be the Eagle Raven Dancers in the Walter Sobolev Building and on Front Street at 5:30 p.m. And the Native Youth Olympics will be in the Walter Sobolev Building at 6:30 p.m. Over at the Drip Drop Wonder Shop at 220 Front Street, Rain Dogs and artist Natalie will be showcasing some art and some music. At the Poetry Jungle at 223 Seward Street, Joanna Griggs, artist and painter, is happening tonight. Bustin' Out Boutique is having their 10th anniversary, and artist Hollis Kitchen will be there with some of her artwork as well, 118 Seward Street. The Gold Town Theater has the high cost of living, and of course they're also having a Gold Town costume and poster sale. That's at 171 Shattuck Way in the Emporium Mall. It'll be happening tonight, and the poster and costume sale will continue, I think, through next week as well. Juno's Imagination Station will have Linda Buckley, children's author. She'll be signing some books. Devil's Club Brewing is hosting the siblings, Rico and Crystal Whirl. Crystal is going to be doing some upstairs work with showing her new laser cut paintings, and downstairs Rico will be doing live printing, so if you can bring your own fabric, tees, bags, etc., and get them custom printed, which is really kind of cool. That's at the Devil's Club. And if you want to find out more, that's just a sampling of what's happening tonight at Gallery Walk. There is so much. There's over 50 vendors and participants. They're closing the street down there. We'll have all kinds of people out on the street. There'll be music, things like that. You can find out more at jahc.org/gallery-walk for the full schedule of events. Up next, we'll talk to the Nutcracker here on Juno Afternoon from the Juno Dance Theater. This is KTOO.
plants and grass. Ka eat with the shu yi, we ka shuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta ka na khaya ha ani ka gnil chish.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan Edi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. You're listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher. That was a little The Nutcracker Trap Music by Josh Fietti. Just a little something different than what you might normally hear. But Juno Dance Theater's annual tradition of The Nutcracker opens tonight. It casts more than 80 Juno Dance Theater students and adults and features guest artists, brilliant colored costumes, and more. The four-performance run is happening this weekend. And here to tell us more about it are Bridget Luan from the Juno Dance Theater, Executive Director, and Zachary Trench, are you the Artistic Director? What's the official title?
Correct, Artistic Director.
Artistic Director, okay. I wasn't sure if it was like Music Director. Some places have Director.
No, you had it right.
But it's Artistic Director.
Correct,
well,
sir.
Welcome, Gwyneth Cheesh, to you both for being here today. It's a pleasure to have you. Wasiti, how's it going?
Thanks for having us. We're glad to be here. I may have mistyped on my form there. I'm sorry. It's Zachary Hench,
and I'm just going to put that.
No, that's okay. I think I probably was typing the form at 3 in the morning, and
that's okay.
My bad.
Trench Hench.
It's just a little extra tea in front
but
there.
Anyway,
sorry about that.
No problem. Just don't call him late for dinner. He's fine. You know? we've got a show tonight at 7 p.m. and tomorrow night at 7, and Saturday and Sunday at 2 p.m. at the Juno Douglas High School
Okay,
auditorium.
So there'll be some matinees as well as some evening performances.
Yes.
So four performances total over the... Do you always open at the same time as Gallery Walk?
Yes, we do.
Why?
I think once in 2010 or 11, we were the second week in December, but we've traditionally tagged on to the Gallery Walk First Friday scene, and that's when it works.
I mean, it's actually possible to go to Gallery Walk and then head over to the theater. And so where are the performances held at?
It's at the JDHS Auditorium,
Yadakale. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's over there at the high school, so close by.
Close by.
Yeah, okay. So that makes it totally possible to have a little fun tonight and then end the evening with the Nutcracker.
And we were smart. We kind of got rolled into the Gallery Walk menu last year and this year, so we're even on the map as part of the
One of the activities.
I was giving
a rundown of a bunch of different activities, but
yeah,
there are so many things that are going on at Gallery Walk. It's just a wonderful time of year to get out and be part of the community in Juno. So, Zachary, tell us a little bit about this Nutcracker. What is something that we might be looking for, listening for in this particular production?
Sure. Well, everybody knows the popular music from the Nutcracker. A lot of it's very popular. So many people actually go to the Nutcracker not only to see the dance, but to hear the music as well. So just a little side note, what a perfect way to end your gallery walk. To go ahead and walk on over there around 7 o'clock, a little bit before, and purchase your ticket, right? I mean, I think that's a perfect end to your wonderful evening. But in our production, you did mention, you know, the wide range of students that we have, you know, anywhere from the little ones to grown adults and then some. So it's great to see such a diverse gathering of students and people and performers on stage. And yes, the costumes are very vibrant, the sets, the scenery. To me, though, what's most special about the Nutcracker, I think, and I can't help but hear the music, I've been involved in the Nutcracker my entire life, and I just get this really nostalgic holiday feeling every time I either watch it, hear the music, anything. So I think it's a really great way to start your holiday season and to start getting in the mood, and also makes great, you know, gift for somebody. In this production, we also have two guest artists that have joined us from New Jersey, American Repertory Ballet in New Jersey. Nanako Yamamoto is our Sugar Plum Fairy, and Aldir Montero is our Cavalier. Both are just beautiful dancers, and we feel very lucky and blessed to be able to have them come to Juneau and bring them to our community. So I think that's something very special about this production.
That's really cool. And it seems also like the students get a lot from having the guest artists come in, I'm sure, because obviously there's wonderful teachers at JDT and there's so much that goes on there. But then to have somebody come from the outside, I remember when I was a teacher and I would say to a student something about a thing, right? And be like, well, this is the way, blah, blah, blah. And they go, I don't know. I don't think so. And then you bring in the guest artists and they go, well, you know, the thing is the same. And they say the same thing you said.
Yes.
And the students go, oh, my gosh. Did you hear what they said?
You are so right. Yes, absolutely.
I need to do my toes out further, whatever it would be in your world. I don't actually know what it would be.
Absolutely.
But that's kind of cool. Because you go from, Bridget, what are the ages for the classes?
Our youngest is 4, this production. We've got a little 4-year-old as a cheese. And I don't know if we publicize the
older. Well, no, I just want to
upper end
go
of
the
70.
Yeah, yes.
Just under 80. But yeah,
wow.
The little ones. And that's something that Zach, when he came on as artistic director, he expanded the eligibility for students. Back when my kids were young, you had to be 8. And it was like you turned the magic age of 8 and you could be in the Nutcracker. But Zach came on board and his wife, Julie, who was my predecessor as executive director, they said, no, we want the little ones. We're going to make roles for them too. So
we've got
pre-ballet kids on stage with us.
Those costumes that you make for them are always so adorable and so fun. So now also, Bridget, we should let people know, maybe they're new to Juneau, that Juneau Dance Theater is a school.
Absolutely.
Like you can enroll your kids into the program and all throughout the year? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, we are a year-round school. We follow the school year. So we have a fall semester and a spring semester. And we'll just be winding up fall semester here on the 21st of December. Right around that time, we'll be opening enrollment for the spring semester. We'll run January to May for that. And yeah, there's no audition or anything. A lot of times people move here from other places and say, oh, we'd like to audition for your ballet program. No, you know, no audition required. We'd like to have that problem where we have so many that we are turning away. But we have, give us a call if you have an older child who studied ballet somewhere else and wants to get into the program. We'll find the right fit for them. If you're brand new and never taken a class, and you have little ones, there's a good fit for everyone. We've got a very thriving adult program, lots of adult offerings with ballet, jazz, contemporary, hip hop. Lots going on in the adult scene. Dance team, like we do it all. We try to do it all.
So all ages, get your body moving, that kind of stuff. Have
yes.
a little bit of fun.
3 is the minimum. You have to be 3 to start with creative movement.
Okay.
And that's really the only hard line we have as far as who we take and who we don't. But
yeah.
We'll have junodance.org is the website where all the things can be learned about and researched. We've got information about our class. That's also the website where you can get your Nutcracker tickets, junodance.org. Just give us a holler, send an email, and we'll try to find the right fit for you in one of our classes coming this spring.
I love that. So back to the Nutcracker, Zachary. What is something about, because it's a perennial thing, right? You know, we see it every year. We know it's happening, whether it's here or other communities. It's just sort of a staple. And you're right. It is something that sort of rings the bell, literally almost, for the holiday season. But what is something that we don't know about the Nutcracker? What would be something that we don't know?
Interesting. So, not specific to JDT, but the Nutcracker in general, I always found it very interesting. It was created in the late 1800s in Russia. And, the very iconic composer, Tchaikovsky, was asked to compose some music to go to a ballet. Now, the Imperial Theater of Russia wanted to commission a work based on the story. It's a French story, E.T.A. Hoffman's The Nutcracker and the Mouse King. I don't know if you've ever heard of this story. It's loosely what we know today about The Nutcracker, but it's actually a very dark story. So it's been adapted, you know, through time. But Tchaikovsky didn't want to do it. He thought that was not suitable for a ballet. He thought, no, that's not – we're used to romantic stories and things like that, you know, fairy tales, things like that for ballets. Reluctantly, he composed for it. It premiered a year later, and it was not received well. It was not received well. So through the years, it has been adapted. But I think that might be a little known fact that, you know, initially when The Nutcracker was imagined – it was based on a darker story and was not well received.
That's cool. And what do you mean by adapted? You mean the not the music per se, or was some of the music adapted?
No, the music pretty much is the original music today.
Yeah.
The story has been adapted since
to make
it more family friendly, more holiday oriented. I highly recommend if you get the chance to just look it up, E.T.A. Hoffman's The Nutcracker and the Mouse King.
Yeah.
And you'll see that it's not a warm, fuzzy story.
Right.
But that's what it's turned into over the years. And everybody knows The Nutcracker is a family iconic holiday story filled with cheer and imagination
and bravery
and
all the good things. Yeah. You know,
everything's all beautiful and candy.
Right.
But that was not the original story.
Interesting. Well, that's something to think about while you're watching it with your kids this year. Mm-hmm. So, Bridget, tell us once again the times, dates, and how we get tickets for this production.
Sure. Well, we will have tickets available at the door, but of course, things always go a lot smoother if you already have your tickets in hand. So jump online, junodance.org. You can purchase your tickets to just The Nutcracker, the ballet, one of our four performances, and you choose your own seats. Or we also have an event within the event, our Land of Sweets Tea and Tour. That's a real fancy thing. We transform the commons to a magical Land of Sweets. Guests will hear a story and they will decorate cookies. They will sit in their VIP seats. They will have tea and treats at intermission. I think it's cider and treats. And then they'll be invited on stage for a photo with the cast after the show. So you need your magnifying glass to see that on the poster.
No, but photos on stage. I love that. You can get your photos
It's great fun. And we are pretty close to selling out the Sunday Land of Sweets, but both matinee performances, we've got the Land of Sweets going at 1 p.m., starting with the story and the cookie decorating. And then, oh my gosh, you should just see the decorations and the treats that are planned for this thing. They go all out. The VIP treatment alone is...
It sounds good to sort of have your own little chair and be giving your little tea/cider and, you know, your little cookie and things like that.
We cordon off the whole front center section. And then, we have a candy bar, too. They can go through the candy bar and fill up their little baggies with candy. Our guests, the Land of Sweets guests.
Cool. That is. So performances tonight and tomorrow night, 7 p.m., and then Saturday and Sunday at 2 p.m. All over at Juno Douglas Yada Kathle Auditorium. And you can get tickets at the door or go online at junodance.org.
You got it.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much. It's another year. It's a warm holiday feeling that we get when we see the Nutcracker. So thanks so much for coming and telling us all about it.
Fantastic. Thanks, Boston.
Gwyneth Cheesh. Okay, up next. A tragic loss and a cruel betrayal led Marian Elliott on the road to Alaska in search of meaning and a new hope. She has a memoir of the experience in Out of the Dark, and we talk with her about the book and her appearance tonight at Hearthside Books next here on Juno Afternoon from KTOO. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Author Marian Elliott lost her son, was betrayed by her husband, and set out on an 8,000-mile trek to Alaska, searching, wondering, what was next? She's written a memoir of her experience in the new book, Out of the Dark, and tonight she'll be appearing at Hearthside Books alongside a couple fellow authors for a book signing. Marian joins me now in studio. Welcome, Marian. Gwyneth Cheesh, for being here today. Was Eati, how's it going?
Oh, it's going great. I mean, I'm so delighted to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here.
To be at Hearthside Books, particularly it's, you know, Christmas time.
Yeah.
And so it coincides perfectly with that Icelandic tradition of giving everybody a gift of a book on Christmas Eve.
Oh.
And then they all get cozy by the fire and have nice warm drinks and something sweet to eat instead of like the rest of us running around crazy trying to get more stuff, you know. They know how to do it. So you could, you know, really go to Hearthside Books and just do all your Christmas shopping in one stop.
Absolutely. Olga's going to love that plug. I like that. That's so
well,
nice.
It's true. I mean, Olga knows all the books. She picks them herself and, you know, ask her what you want and she'll find it for you. So
let's find out a little bit about you, Marion. So you are living up, where do you live now? You live up north somewhere, yeah?
So I'm in Wasilla now.
Wasilla, okay.
Okay. We had lived north of Talkeetna off the road system for a long time. But my son was kind of isolated there. And even though my husband is a professor, I'm a teacher, we could teach him, but he needed to be with other kids. So we went back and forth a lot, and then we finally moved to Wasilla. My husband wanted to start an apple orchard.
I see. So. Okay. Yeah, I see. That's kind of nice, an apple orchard. And this is not the husband you refer to in the memoir,
I'm sure. Right.
Because this, when did this story, so tell us a little bit about Out of the Dark in terms of the story. When did it happen?
Yeah. So it was 1980 that I made the road trip.
Okay.
My son had died the year before, and after his death, everything pretty much disintegrated in my life.
Mm.
And I started this trip sort of reluctantly. You know, it actually took me 3 months to do it. But all through the Maritimes, across the prairie, up the Iceland Parkway, and finally in Jasper, I decided, well, I might as well keep going to Alaska. I'm almost there, you know.
Wow.
Anyway, I had my dog with me, and he got sick.
Mm.
And so I was stuck in Anchorage with the dog waiting for him to get better.
Mm.
And I'm not supposed to be giving out spoilers, but it's already out. So that's where I left. I met my husband.
I see. Okay. And
never left Alaska.
Yeah. And so where did you start the trip from?
Northport, Long Island, New York.
Okay.
Okay. I went up through New England, all through the Maritimes, because I love the Maritimes. Thinking I was going to end the trip there, but because of circumstances that are in the story, you know, I was pretty much stuck on the road.
Right, because I know that in the sort of the, I guess, the log line or the summary of the book, it talks about how your husband encouraged you. Your husband at the time said, well, maybe you should take a road trip and deal with your grief.
And
But really what was happening was he was wanting you to not be around anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's sad, but it's true that marriages that lose children don't do very well.
Mm.
At that time, they were saying 85% of marriages break up.
Wow.
I think it's down from that, but it's still well over half, you know. There was a book, a very popular book and movie about it called Ordinary People.
Mm-hmm.
A while ago, about how a marriage breaks up after a loss of a child. I don't know what you can do about it.
Do you think that it's part? I know in your story there's specific circumstances for why it happened to you, but I'm wondering, do you think that it's something to do with, is it each person looks at the other as like, why didn't you do something more?
So Compassionate Friends, who is a group that works with parents who have lost children, their position is that both parents are so broken that neither one can give any kind of support to the other.
Mm.
And also there is the question of guilt and blame, and sometimes, not always, sometimes they blame each other.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that happened with us also.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And then sort of this journey then to Alaska. When you said, okay, I'm halfway there or more than halfway there, might as well keep going. What was it about Alaska that made you want to come here?
In the course of my marriage coming apart, and my husband starting on this, you should take this Alaska trip, I was invited to come to Tuksuk Bay because I had relatives that were teaching there. And that's why the whole thing got started, okay? You should take this invitation and go there. But I just always thought, oh, who drives all the way to Alaska, you know? I mean, who does that?
Yeah.
And then here I was doing it, you
know? Wow.
So.
Wow. And now, so this happened in 1980, as you said, when you were about
right.
to, when you were starting out. When did the idea for getting this out into a book start to form for you?
Yes. So what happened there is that over the years, okay, many people would say to me, you should write a book. And I always took it as a figure of speech. They were just saying that's a good story, not literally sit down and write a book. And then about a little more than 5 years ago, a friend of my son's died in a snow machine accident, and I went to see his mother, and she was very angry, asking me how I could just stand there like nothing ever happened to me, because she knew about my oldest son, and what was wrong with me, and didn't I care, things like that. And I realized in her state, because this was new to her. You really think that your life is always going to be that way. You don't understand that somebody actually survived it, you know? And I thought, I couldn't tell her then. Eventually, grief has a way of evolving. And you will have a way of coming to grips with it. So that eventually you'll be okay. I couldn't tell her that then. She was just too angry with the fact that I wasn't completely destroyed. So I thought, then it became, I should write a book. Not, you know, you should write, but I should write a book. I should tell the story. That was followed by the terrible shooting in Uvalde in Texas. Watching this mother on television blaming herself because she left her child at school. And I just wanted to hug her, you know, and say, it's not your fault, you know? And also, how can you tell her you're going to be all right under those circumstances, you know? Excuse me.
No worries.
And then somebody very close to me also lost their oldest son. And that kind of convinced me. If people can see someone else who's been through it, just see the story, just tell them what happened without the preaching and teaching and reflections and everything. This is what happened. They can lose that fear that they'll never be able to, you know, have a happy life again.
It sort of tells them, you know, a little bit that they're not alone, right? That the other people
have gone through this. Yeah.
And also that they're that there may be at some point, obviously grief, like you said, has many stages, but at some point there will be hope, you know, and also the courage that it requires to sort of find your way through that and that it can be done.
It can be done.
Yeah.
You can learn, and I have found many mothers who just kind of constructed their own way of coping with grief. They have their own little rituals and things like that, so that they're not afraid anymore to think of their child because it will bring bad feelings and they'll disintegrate into tears and everything. Instead, they can think of their child warmly, you know, and have good memories. It does evolve. You can get to that point.
Did you find it difficult to revisit the memory so many years later, or had, did you see it from a different vantage point?
So it was so many years later, it wasn't that difficult. I mean, there were occasional tears thinking back, but they didn't come with that desperate kind of pain and fear that the original grief carries. It's terrible. It really is.
Was there anything in writing the book that the experience of writing the memoir, has it done anything new for your soul now that you wrote about it so many years later? Has it done anything different for you?
I don't think so. I think I had already reached that point, and that's why I was able to write it. I think if I hadn't come to the point where I had resolved most everything, I wouldn't have been able to write it as objectively, you know, and just say, this is what happened. But the whole thing was to say, there is hope. You know, a terrible thing has happened to you, yes, but it doesn't mean you'll never smile again.
Yeah, and I think that's really sweet. Yeah. And it's I think that's the hope for the book, right? That people will get that out of that.
And actually, I've discovered that it has happened. There's so many reviews on Amazon from people who lost children and read the book and say that it gives them hope.
That's lovely.
I know.
Yeah.
Really surprised me.
Now, this is also it's sort of a road trip book, right? Like, do you have characters or people that you met along the way that...
Yeah, it's just a wonderful road trip because that was the thing. I kept running into these people and spending time with them. I mean, it was just wonderful. There was this young man that I was a hitchhiker in Cape Breton Island, Nova Scotia. It was pouring rain, and he was sitting on the side of the road, and I had this horrible feeling of him getting hit by a car for obvious reasons, you know. Anyway, I stopped to tell him he shouldn't sit there. He should, you know, get in a safer place, and he assumed I was just picking him up. I ended up giving him a ride. We just had just wonderful talks, you know. There were many people like that along the way. We'd sit here all night if I kept told you about all of them. But
We have to read the book. So tell me a little bit about what's going to be happening at Hearthside in about an hour or so. You're going to be over there signing books along with a couple other folks.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. There's three other. It had was going to be two other authors. Now there'll be three other authors, all local Alaska authors.
Nice.
I'm not sure how they got published. I mean, my book was published by Cirque Press, which is a local, small, regional press.
Mm-hmm.
They may be self-published or also a small regional press. I'm not really sure.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll all be there with our books. Hearthside is going to have a nice spread of nice refreshments for people when they drop in. And we can talk to people about our books when they come by.
That's fantastic. And this is going to be Hearthside in the Wharf downtown as part of Gallery Walk. And Marion will be there. I know Joel Bennett is also there, local author Joel Bennett's going to be there.
Right.
And there's a couple authors on the docket for that. So where can we find your book? Is it available on – it's going to be available at Hearthside, obviously.
Yeah, my book is at Hearthside.
Yeah.
Okay. It's also on Amazon.
Okay.
We
prefer to go to Hearthside, though,
That's the point.
but you
can also just go to Cirque.
Cirque Press.
But the easiest thing is to just go to Hearthside, and they'll just get it from Cirque Press, and that'll be good for Hearthside.
Supports the whole
and
book
Juno
economy.
And everything else.
All that good stuff.
Right.
That's fantastic. And is there anywhere we can follow you and your journey? Are you online anywhere?
Well, I do have kind of a web page, but it's kind of old.
Might need to be updated.
Okay. Well, yeah. It's www.outofthedarkmemoir.
Okay. Out of the dark memoir.
Yes. And you have to add the word memoir because there are other out of the darks.
Oh, I'm sure outofthedark.com is pretty popular for a website.
Right.
I think that's great. And are you working on anything, more memoirs or more
so
writing in the future?
When I lived off the road, okay, I had a blog going mostly for my family back east because they were watching reality television and had it all wrong.
Oh, sure.
So I was writing a blog to keep them straight on it. And someone said I should turn that into a book.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at the possibility of it. It will be very, very different from Out of the Dark because it's just everyday life off the road system, you know?
Right.
So the question is, what is the theme? Anyway, they're nice stories.
Well, you could do like a short story collection, you know,
there
maybe
you go.
It's that, something like that. And it doesn't necessarily have to have the same kind of, you know, it doesn't have to have an overarching sort of theme then, right? So that's kind of cool.
Right.
Marion, it was really a pleasure to meet you. And congratulations on your book, Out of the Dark. It's Marion Elliott. She's an author, lives up in Wasilla, is here in Juneau for a book signing tonight at Hearthside. As part of Gallery Walk for her memoir, Out of the Dark, which is available at Hearthside Books. I really appreciate you coming in today. Gunatish,
well, thank
for telling
you. Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed being here.
It was a pleasure.
Okay.
Okay, up next, Mud Rooms is next Tuesday. The theme is Stronger Than You Think, Braver Than You Know. We check in with them next here on Juno Afternoon. This is KTOO.
He speaks so. Knows where each word's bound to go. He walks in a steady line, moves the way he's moved 100 times before, simply practice before. He knew that he'd be mine. Whisper me words that I don't know I need to hear. No, I don't need them. Oh, but I want them. Show me the sign.
Right there is a little Taylor Dallas Vidic with her song Cat and Mouse. Taylor will be the featured musician artist at next week's Mudrooms on Tuesday night. It's the final Mudroom storytelling event of 2024. It's happening on December 10th. It's 7 storytellers, 7 p.m. for $7. It's really easy to remember. It's like a slot machine, 777, right? And all the stories are 7 minutes long. So that's the other thing that's cool about it. And I am in the studio now with one of the storytellers next week, Stacy Oliver, as well as board member Kristen Rankin. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you both in the studio today. Wasa E.T., how's it going?
Hello, hello.
Hi, Kristen. Hi, Stacy.
Well, hello. Hey, I just need to make a little note, please, if you'll catch my last name as Olver rather than Olver.
Oh, okay. Olver.
Olver.
Yeah. Okay, that's awesome. Thank you so
much. Thank you very much for correcting that. Appreciate
absolutely.
It. It's a pleasure.
Is it? How is it spelled?
O-L-V-E-R.
Oh, okay. So there
it's
was
so
a,
easy to put that I in.
That's. I think when people see it visually, they probably do that. Yeah, it's like
that
easy.
That could have been my fault.
Yeah. Well, we also have to correct another thing that was backwards. Tell us of the theme, Kristen, for next week, because I think it was a little incorrect.
Indeed. Our theme next week is Braver Than You Think, Stronger Than You Know.
Braver Than You Think, Stronger Than You Know. All right. We're going to get to that in just a minute here, and we'll talk to Stacy about how her process of writing this story has gone. So, Kristen, just remind everyone a little bit about Mudrooms. I kind of gave the quick, simple 777 thing, but tell us about Mudrooms as a group.
Absolutely. We are a community loose organization. We have been around for over 13 years. And what we do is we hold storytelling events. And through that, we raise money for local nonprofits and local good works, all within Juneau. So we invite Juneau community members to come tell stories. And through that, by asking folks to pay a little bit at the door, we have raised over $158,000
wow.
for local Juneau nonprofits and good work over the years.
That's so good. And you've had so many different organizations who have been recipients of the dollars because Mudrooms doesn't keep any of the money.
Correct.
And so who is the recipient this time around?
It is, we are supporting the arts this time around. It is Juneau Ghostlight Theater. We have two beneficiaries this season, and so this fall has been Juneau Ghostlight Theater. So we are excited to support community theater and the art that they bring to all of us.
That's so cool. And it's next Tuesday night, December 10th. It's at 7 p.m. And where does it take place?
It is at Kunaikiri Northern Light United Church.
Awesome. That's the place it's been for years and years and years.
Yeah, absolutely. In the flats.
It's a packed event always. And usually isn't there like cookies and coffee and stuff?
There are cookies. There's coffee. There will be lots of people coming out, I'm sure. And it will be wonderful to gather to hear some wonderful holiday music from Taylor Vittick.
Yeah,
it's going to be excellent. A good time.
Yeah, it sounds like a really good time. So we've got all the details covered. How did we decide, Kristen, on the theme, Braver Than You Think, Stronger Than You Know? How did that come about?
Yeah, so each spring we ask for people to give us ideas of themes that they want to see for Mudrooms next year. We'll also get theme ideas through social media, through Facebook and Instagram. Verbally, people will tell us theme ideas, and so each spring we collect all of our different ideas as a board, sift through, narrow down so that we have a nice spread of fantastic themes. We like to bring out themes that elicit stories that have universal experiences, where you can hear a story from another community member and say, yes, I have been there. That sounds so familiar, whether it is a light and happy comedic story or something a little more serious. So we thought that this theme fit nicely in that and gives us a nice spread across our different themes this season.
Yeah, this is like one of the longer themes that I can remember.
I know.
In terms of the words, because I know like the previous one was just bones.
Yep.
And then others
we were
ones
short
like
and sweet.
Secrets. You know, some of them are a little less. So let's talk to you, Stacy, in terms of like, tell us a little bit about you, first of all. And then how did you get it and decide to sign up for Mudrooms?
Well, thanks. I've been here in Juneau for 8 years now with a kind of connection of many summers working up here and visiting back and forth for quite a while, and made Juneau home about 8 years ago. Raised my two daughters here, supported my husband with that, kind of a Jill of all trades.
And through the arts, I've had the pleasure of meeting Kristen and other board members, as well as having other friends, acquaintances tell us about visiting mudrooms and what a great experience it is. I love listening to stories. I think being a listener is one of my strong points. So I really enjoyed going to see Sourdough last year. And let's see, I also went to hear You Only Live Once and heard great stories there as well. Last year, the board started some workshops, and I was very interested in that. Even though I'd been involved in improv and other theater stuff, I'd never been a storyteller before. So I really enjoyed this workshop I went to last October and learned about these stories, storytellers. They come from the heart, from your own personal experience. And the best stories are something that's real, that not memorized. You're telling those stories that you tell around the campfire, which you always share with friends and family at an event or something. And I was inspired. I really enjoyed the workshop and thought, wouldn't it be nice for me, that's always the listener, to tell a story? So all those storytellers that do it all the time have a chance to listen to. That was kind of my inspiration.
That's so great.
Well, thank you.
Because I know that the workshops we talked with Skylar Bear, who works on some of the workshops, we talked a little bit about that in terms of, you know, because I think some people think of it as something they can't do or are too afraid to do, or, you know, they're not a storyteller, so why would I do that? But the workshops kind of help break it down, like you said, and it becomes something that's personal. And like you said, sitting around the campfire, what are those stories that you could bring out? And so was there something about this particular theme that struck you, or was it you figured it was time after taking the workshop and watching a few of these and then said, yeah, it's my turn?
This theme really hit close to home. I'd had the pleasure of doing a story before last November and had such a positive experience of doing that. Then when I read these themes for this year, something just struck close to home. And I think, you know, like public speaking is one of those, I think, common fears for everybody, or trying something new. So I think everybody that's on the stage this week is pretty
braver
brave
than
and
they think
and stronger than
yeah,
they
for
know.
Sure.
I'm at a point in my life where my kids are gone. We're looking at our next chapter of our lives. And so thinking about getting back into the arts has been an inspiration for me. And I went to Lily Hope's lecture at UAS last year, where she shared a card with everybody in the audience says, "The world needs my creative expression." And it was very inspirational then. And reading about this theme, it brought back something that happened this fall that was kind of a journey to take a next step, take a big risk, to try something I hadn't done for quite a while. I don't want to give my whole story away.
No, you know, I don't want to give you that because we got to have people
save
to show up.
Save it for Tuesday.
Yeah,
Tuesday.
Can you give us like a log line, like a teaser? Yeah.
Let's say I experienced something on my journey when taking this risk that was very inspiring and helped me just calm and be present and go through with something I really wanted to do.
Okay. I love that. Well, I think it's fantastic that community members do this particular project. And do you already have all your storytellers for next week, Kristen?
We do. And we have some wonderful, really local stories. Like we have a story of something that happened on the Bad Dog Trail. We have a mountain story. We've got bear stories. We've got very Juno stories. And
I love it.
And storytellers are, besides Stacy, we have Alicia Fallberg, David Parrish, Cam Burns, Leah Labar, Julie Peters, and Lauren Proles. So we've got a wonderful group, and they've got some really fantastic stories that I think folks will connect with.
That's awesome. And is there going to be, I know that now the sort of the model, just to tell people this is that it used to be every month was a storytelling event, and now it's like this month's a storytelling event, and then there's going to be probably a workshop in January, and then the next live Mudrooms event would be in February. Is that how it's going?
Yeah, this season we're trying something different, in which exactly what you just said, every other month we are doing a workshop. So that is open to all. It is free. You can come and just learn about our particular story format, as you said. So everybody tells stories, right? And Mudrooms is just a particular way to tell stories. So we will have those workshops. And we've got events. We also are trying something new this year. We are trying an After Dark.
Oh, that's right. The Mudrooms After Dark. When is that happening?
That is January, and I should know January 17th.
Okay, and they'll be on the show for that, because we talked about it last month in terms of, After Dark implies a certain kind of tone and what people might be able to tell. It's a little bit, maybe indeed, it's stories that might not be good for a 7 o'clock, but better for an 11 o'clock, but not necessarily sleaze. Like,
correct,
as we were getting in terms of like the time, what does it mean to be, sort of after dark?
Yeah.
What is that?
Particularly when dark is like 3 p.m. right now.
And is there a theme for the after dark?
No, not right now. Right now the theme.
The theme is after dark.
Yeah.
Okay, I get that. That's really fun. That's going to be kind of cool. So if somebody is inspired and wants to maybe tell a story, either in After Dark and one of the future storytelling events, it's pretty easy to get involved, right?
It sure is. So we are at mudrooms.org. We are also on Instagram and Facebook at Juno Mudrooms. And just reach out to us on our website. We've got links to sign up for a workshop, links to sign up for a future show. And if you'd love to get involved in other ways, we would love to hear from you.
That's fantastic. Well, congratulations, Stacy, for this will be your second story, so that's going to be kind of cool. Congratulations on doing that. Kristen, thanks so much for being a board member and doing all the good work that you do there. Mudrooms is a great community organization. And again, it's happening next Tuesday, December 10th at 7 p.m. at the Kunikidi Northern Lights United Church. The theme is Braver Than You Think, Stronger Than You Know. It's 7 storytellers, $7, 7 p.m., and the stories are each 7 minutes long, which is kind of good. And there's cookies and drink.
Absolutely.
Which is going to be kind of fun. So thank you so much, Gunnar the Cheese, for being here today. We'll go out with just a little bit more of your musical guest, because there's always a musical guest. We'll hear a little bit more of Cat and Mouse from Taylor Vidic. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Gunnar the Cheese.
Thank you.
Show me the signs that I don't know I need to see. No, I don't need them. Oh, but I want them. Show me the signs that I don't know.
that will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gonna cheese and enjoy Gallery Walk. Have a great weekend.